Hey everyone, this is Jason Parker and I'm here with Richard Legg, who is an expert at SEO and a certain type of business model that I've always been fascinated with, and that is that he has over 100 websites and that he likes to do this because he told me that it is a great long-term business strategy. How's it going, Rich?
It's going good, Jason. Thanks for having me on the call. Really
yeah, thanks for being on here. It's great to have you.
So yeah, I'm really excited. Ready to share kind of basically my business model, what I've been doing, and kind of some of the reasons why I do it, and why I think it's a really good business model for anybody who's serious about building a long-term income online.
Excellent. I can't wait to probe you about it because this is the model I tried to start off with, and I failed for a few years, and I don't think I knew what I was doing, and I didn't have anybody like you to teach me what to do. And also, I found that the tools were so expensive, and I know that I've seen a couple of your trainings now. And you were talking about how you use a lot of free tools, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of tools on the market, and there are a lot of free tools as well to use. And obviously, I do use some paid tools right now, mainly for more kind of automation stuff to help me scale things out or some of my outsources to do things. But it is quite easy to get started with a lot of the free tools out there. And one of the biggest things I find whenever you're trying to build a business based around content generation and SEO is that the research is going to be the most important part first. So you really need to understand the research and figure out kind of a plan of action of what markets you're going into, what keywords, and specifically what kind of products you're going into. So the basic ones I use for keyword research are mainly just the Google AdWords keyword tool and the Word Tracker keyword tool. And you can get a lot of information from this. And it's kind of a black art more than anything scientific, but can use that to get a good idea of kind of a market overview. So whenever you're looking at potential market to go into, you can go in, type in the Google AdWords tool, type in some general keywords. It will give you a list of related keywords. And also just go to Google itself. And when you do a search, you'll get a list of suggestions in the search box you can use. And usually at the bottom of the search page, they give you other related searches as well. So that's kind of my first step in any kind of market I'm looking at is doing some research, see what kind of keywords are out there, see what kind of volume overall the market has, and whether or not it's going to be worth going into.
Very cool. I'm going to probe you about all that stuff with try to get in depth with the keyword research, because I know you said that's the most important thing, and so that's you know what I want to make most of this call about. Then, if you said it's the most important thing, but let's because that's the part I always get hung up on. But you know, when I try this model, but let's kind of explain I guess the whole mindset behind having this model and why you like it more than anything else, and you know, the perks of doing it, and just kind of, you know, give an overview of what's going on here.
It's something I got started on. I've always been interested in SEO and traffic generation. When I actually got started in internet marketing, I was in college full time. So I didn't have a lot of income. So I wasn't able to use like pay-per-click traffic or any kind of paid sources. So I focused mainly on kind of SEO and generating free traffic. Because at the end of the day, it may, you know, take some investment in time and energy, but you know, I had some spare time I could use in it, whereas I didn't have the funds for pay-per-click. And the great thing about SEO as well that I like is that once you put in that initial time and energy, you can get a result, and then it's very, very easy to maintain it. Whereas pay-per-click, it's a lot quicker, but you're paying for every single click. So whether you're bidding on a keyword for a year, you have to pay every single time over that year that keyword is clicked on. Whereas with SEO, you know, it may take you anywhere from a week to a month to rank for a particular keyword. And then once it's done, that's it. You know, over the course of another year, you get basically 11 months for free. And then that whole kind of, that mindset of having just a ton of free traffic was really appealing to me. And so when I was in college, I started building a few different sites in a few different markets. And one or two in particular started really taking off quite well. So I focused a lot of time and energy on like building those sites into kind of a big authority site. So I had one main domain and I was trying to get it to rank for a ton of different keywords. And over time, this started working. I started getting more and more traffic, but then that site actually got slapped. It got penalized, or for whatever reason, there's a penalty applied to it. And overnight, about 90% of my income just dropped and vanished because I was no longer getting the search traffic from there. So what I realized was, first of all, from an income security standpoint, putting all your eggs in one basket wasn't very smart. So I started diversifying a bit and rebuilding with several different sites rather than trying to have one site rank for a whole bunch of different keywords. I create very, very tightly focused sites, say 10 different sites, with each one based around one keyword or one set of related keywords. And what I found is the more targeted and focused you make it, the easier it can be to rank that one site. So that's kind of what I started exploring, and then branching out into different markets, there's a lot of different things you can do. I tend to focus a lot on product-specific names. So whenever I go into a market, particularly a popular market, I would go in and look and see what kind of particular product you're selling. Mainly because if you go for product names, the people coming to those sites are very, very highly qualified. So you can oftentimes get a much better conversion rate for products you're promoting. So I basically started just building out different sites in different markets and building a ton of different sites, and then each one has a very, very strict focus. And so this really helps in terms of not only getting ranked, but getting people to actually convert into sales as well. So that's kind of where the mindset came from, and it's just something that I'm kind of building on now and exploring more and more and trying out different methods and techniques to kind of capitalize on that and then turn each of these sites into an asset which I can use to leverage for other sites as well. So
Excellent. Hopefully. So I mean, you're trying not to keep all your eggs in one basket, so you got over 100 sites.
Yeah.
And so how long does it take to get one of these sites going? Do you build a site, and then when it's going, you move on to the next one? Is that how it works?
Yeah, I kind of have a system where I would have a few different phases. Obviously, the first one is research before I even register a domain name. I need to research the market and the product. But then once I've found, say, a particular product, I would go and register a domain name that has that product name in it, preferably something like just the product name .com or .org. Usually the .com is obviously taken. If I can't get an exact match like that, it would be something like productreview.org, productreviews.com.org. So as long as it has the product name in it, it gives you an instant advantage when you're trying to get it ranked.
Do you have any rules against, I know a little bit about cyber squatting, but how do you avoid that while ranking? I mean, I know you're not a legal person, none of this is legal advice, but I know if you try to, take like Microsoft something, you try to get that domain that says like Microsoft Word or something.com, then you can get sued for that or something.
Yeah, well, fortunately, knock on wood, I haven't come across anything like that. And I know this is a problem, especially big corporations like that. A lot of times, if I'm going for something, it could be like, say, a ClickBank product or promoting or a CPA offer, where I'm actually kind of doing the vendor a favor because I'm getting more traffic for them. I'm directing sales for them. There may be situations where people don't like that. And I know even as far as using Google, there are certain domain registrars that won't let you use any kind of domain name that has Google in it. So, yeah, like I said, I'm not a legal person. I can't say specifically what you can and cannot do. But in my own experience, I haven't had any problems yet with using product names in a domain name, especially because I'm actually promoting that product and making more sales for it. So.
Right, it makes more sense to do if you're doing it through a ClickBank product or something like that. But, you know, if you register some product, it doesn't make sense to me if you're registering, like, Kodak Z18 or something like that. That seems like a big no-no to me.
Yeah, I think some of the bigger corporations take a different view. But, I mean, yeah, if you're helping out basically promoting a ClickBank product, you're helping out that vendor by making more sales for them. So I don't see any reason why they would be unhappy. I'm not saying that won't happen, but...
I know you're saying. I don't think anyone would really mind if you did that. I mean, I've seen a bunch of like that. But so your domain names, they usually have. I mean, do they always have the name of a product inside of it as the domain name?
Yeah. The only exception would be if I'm building out kind of an authority site, which is something I kind of do in parallel to running out lots of little mini sites. Mm. In that case, I'd quite often do something side by side. where I'd create a mini site based around the product name and have it very, very focused. And then if it's a bigger market, I would create a slightly more generic name and then create sub pages or subsections within that one site to promote a product. And then, because I found it, Google is kind of an ever-changing and kind of an evolving machine. So sometimes it can help to have a mini site that's very, very tightly focused, whereas other times it can help to have an established site with a lot of established content. So you have a big kind of authority site, and then you're adding different content to that.
Gotcha. Which one do you lean more towards? Do you lean more towards the sites that are just tightly focused or the kind of authority sites?
The tightly focused ones would be the ones I normally go after.
Okay.
The authority sites are more useful for what I call kind of high competition markets, where the sites that are currently ranking in the top 10 are sites that have been around for a long time. They have a lot of unique content. They have a lot of backlinks. Whereas if you're going in less competitive markets, and particularly for a lot of time for just product name type keywords, you can get away with it with a mini site. So, yeah, so getting that domain name would be the first step. And then usually the next step is just to throw up a WordPress blog on that site, create a few posts of unique content, obviously make it keyword rich. And typically I try and use kind of the keyword tools and create posts like one per keyword that I know is going to be popular. So product name is always going to be the main one. Product name reviews, maybe product name scam, or does product name work? Things like that.
Nice. That's really good advice. How do you go about picking the product on ClickBank? We're talking about, everybody's listening. I mean, if you don't know what ClickBank is, it's clickbank.com. That's clickbank.com. If you go to the marketplace, you can pick any product out of the marketplace and promote it. But how do you go about finding the right product to promote?
A lot of times I would look at the newer products. There is a site called, I believe it's cbengine.com, which will list kind of all the different products in the marketplace. And it also shows some newer products. Because a lot of the products that are popular on ClickBank, they have a high gravity, so they sell lots of them, but they also have a lot of competition already. So it's fine to go after these once you're a bit more experienced and you know kind of what you're doing and you can analyze the competition and see if it's possible to outrank it or not. So a lot of times I would actually go for some of the newer ones that are kind of slowly on the way up. So you can see the trends, the gravity is increasing, but they haven't kind of reached that saturation point yet. And then obviously you want something that's going to be high paying, like a minimum 50% commissions, and typically a minimum of $15 commissions. If it's much higher, then that's also better. But other things I like doing, looking at CPA offers as well. There's a great site. It's free as well. It's called OfferVault, VAULT.com, which lists all different CPA offers from different CPA networks you can get. And the benefit with CPA offers is oftentimes there's a lot lower barrier to entry for the customer. So they only have to pay like a shipping and handling charge for you to get paid, you know, $30 to $40 commission. And those are other ones where you can go into product name specific keywords as well. And just another reason why I like CPA products like that as well is because they're in markets which are evergreen as well. Typically things like the health and fitness markets or dating markets, say finance, credit repair markets. These are markets that are going to be evergreen. So whenever I look at a site, I'm looking to build a long-term business asset. So while there may be a product on ClickBank that's, you know, the latest and greatest thing right now, who's to say, you know, 30, 60 days down the line that it's still going to be popular, it's still going to be generating traffic. So the thing with a lot of ClickBank products is they tend to have these huge spikes in sales because they have people launching them, particularly in the internet marketing world, these massive launches and they taper off really quickly before, you know, the vendor comes out with his new latest and greatest product. But if you can find a more evergreen market, then you're building an asset which you can leverage long term. And my goal for a site once I get up and ranking is that it's going to make me money for several years to come. And even if it comes to a stage where that particular product gets pulled off the market, the work I've put into the site will make that site in itself something I can leverage. I can use it to link to new sites, in a few years' time it'll have good domain age associated with it. And so all these things are kind of they're part of a business plan, which I use rather than just throw up a site for the latest and greatest product.
Gotcha. I think that's the beauty of this system you use is that, you know, I guess you just described how you're picking these evergreen products and then you get the site ranked and then it's making you money for years to come, right?
Yeah, and that's the goal. It's a lot easier when you just get a site like that that's ranking, it will stay ranking. It requires very little maintenance. And you can always expand on those sites as well. Like say if I pick a site and create it based around product X in say the weight loss market. Now eventually product X may go off the market, but because I have all that related content in there, it could also be very, very useful for a new product. So when product Y comes out, I could create a subsection on that site dedicated to that. And because of the authority and the relevance that site already has, it could be a lot easier to rank that old site rather than create a brand new site around it.
Gotcha. Okay. So I think that explains the domain pretty. Is there anything else you want to say about picking the domain? Because I know you're talking about the things they do at the beginning are the most important things, right? I mean, like keyword research and picking
yeah.
the domain.
I would always, a few years ago, I would say go with .com, .net, or .org. I'm starting to lean away from .net now, and it would usually be .com or .org. And in certain situations, I've actually found that a .org can outrank a .com. So usually a .com or .org is always a good way to go. The benefit, obviously, with online is that people don't have to remember an address to type in, so it doesn't matter if you have a .org extension. So, yeah, I always stick with .com or .org. And, yeah, avoid .info domains because these have been heavily used by spammers in the past because they were so cheap. They were like $2 for a .info domain. So you had a lot of spammers and kind of AdSense, made for AdSense sites built on .info domains, which seem to have kind of devalued the .info domain in terms of Google's eyes at least. So I'd only stick with a .com or a .org. One other cool tip as well is if you're looking in a market that's global and outside of just the US, so say the UK, you can register a .co.uk or a .org.uk site, a domain name. And this will make it a lot easier to rank in, say, google.co.uk. So that's something I'm experimenting with recently, and it's been having some great results. It's kind of what I call geo-SEO, kind of SEO based on location. I mean, with the UK as well, it has like 60 million or so people. It's about 5 times smaller than America. But because you have a geographic-specific domain name, it becomes a lot easier to rank on the .co.uk version of Google, and particularly if you can have a UK-based server as well. So that's something I've been playing around with a lot, and it's really, really just made it a lot easier to get things ranked. And kind of expanding on that as well, what I've started doing is using different servers in different locations. You may or may not have heard of kind of the idea of SEO hosting, which for anyone who's listening is where you can have servers that are based in different locations or different IP addresses. They call it many different C-class IP addresses. The idea being is that way you can link from different IP addresses to one site and it'll look more natural. Whereas if you had 100 sites all on the one server, the one IP address, all pointing to each other, then Google can see this is artificial linking. This is not what you'd normally expect. So the idea of SEO hosting came about by having IP addresses in different locations that would link to your sites, making it look more natural. And there's one company that I use. It's host9.com. So 9 is in N-I-N-E.com. And they offer a worldwide reseller hosting plan. It's like $20 a month. So it's maybe a bit more expensive if you're just getting started out. But once you have a larger network of sites, they have servers which are physically located in different locations. So they have like 3 in the States, on the West Coast, East Coast, and somewhere in Central. Then they have servers in the UK, and they have servers in Asia as well. So the good thing about this is that once you find a market, you can start building sites in all these different locations, and say you could build five sites, each one on a different server, and link that to another site. And the benefit is that they're in different locations, so it looks very, very natural to Google, but you have a lot of leverage with that. And again, if you have something like a .co.uk domain name, and you have that site hosted on a UK-based server, then Google have actually publicly said that they do take those factors into account when considering how they rank things. So that's a very, very good tip that a lot of people, I think, don't really use or aren't really aware of, that can make things a lot easier when it comes to ranking.
I'm sure people will be interested in how easy is it using this SEO hosting? So, if you just register your domains and your hosting, does it automatically register them to different servers?
If you've ever used kind of a reseller hosting account, when you go in, like say you register your domain name, I personally use Namecheap.com to register all my domains. And then what I do is you set the name servers for the hosting company, which they give you. And then in the hosting panel, you just fill out when you're creating basically the hosting package for that site, you type in, the domain name and your account details. And then the little drop down box, you basically choose your location and that's it. So it's like one extra step, and it's just a drop down box to select which location you have.
Okay, so I got you. That is
really,
easy.
Really easy.
That is easy, folks. I mean, I've used Namecheap a lot before. And, that's something that you'd have to do anyway if you're just, if you want to get a cheap domain and you want to host it on any website, you'd have to change these kind of things. So just think about that. I mean, that's really not hard. That one little extra step of changing the server.
Yeah, it's well worth it. I've been having some great results doing things like that. So.
Okay, cool. And one thing I wanted to ask you is, since all this stuff we're talking about right now is, would you say this stuff is the most important stuff, first of all?
I think, the most important thing in terms of getting a site ranked is going to be building links to the site once you get it set up. But at the same time, you need to have everything set up correctly first before you do too much promotion. Otherwise, you're wasting your efforts.
Because one thing I want to ask you is, you were talking about .com, .org, .co, .uk sites and or domains. What percentage of your domains are .com? What are percentage .org, roughly? And what percentage roughly are .co, .uk?
I would probably say it's about 40% .com, 40% .org, and then maybe 20% of UK domains, either .co.uk or .org.uk.
And some of these .org sites, I mean, they're performing just as well as your .com sites or better?
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about it, because it's an exact match domain, it just seems to work really, really well. I would always take, if you have product X, it's what you're trying to promote. Obviously, productx.com is likely to be taken. It's the product. It's the product's name and the product's owner site. So I would always go with productx.org over productxreviews.com or something. If you can get the exact match with a .org, I would take that over any kind of other .com which has extra words or letters at the end of it.
Okay, so I think we went pretty good in depth with finding the right products on ClickBank or CB Engine and Offer Vault if you're doing CPA, and also registering the right domain. And the types you're saying, product name, review.com or .org, and it was what you're saying, product name, also scam.com or .org, or does product name work.com, .org. I think those were some really great tips, but let's go ahead and move on to the next part if that's all you got to say about that part.
Sure. And in terms of kind of promotion and building a site out?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about, I hope that people are kind of taking notes and just organizing this stuff in their mind, because you are giving them you're pretty much your model right here, right? I mean,
yeah, it may not sound incredibly sexy, but it works.
that's what we like to go for. I mean, I just want people to do something that works, period. But you were saying that, would your next step be going for the keywords, finding the right keywords for it?
Yeah, so there's a lot of good free keyword tools, and so I'd start with those, either the Google AdWords tool, the Word Tracker keyword tool, even using the Google suggestions. So when you go now to type in something in Google, they give you a list of suggestions below based on what other people are searching. So you can kind of look at those keywords there. Another thing to look at is the Google Wonder Wheel, which if you're not sure of how to use it, when you go through a search in Google, there's usually now on the left-hand side is like a little column or sidebar with different options. And one of the other search options you can have is called the Wonder Wheel, which is something that will, when you type in something, say weight loss, and then look at search for the Wonder Wheel, it'll give you a bunch of different thematically related keywords. So it could be things like how to lose weight or other things, maybe around weight loss, different, you know, say weightwatchers.com or different ailments related to weight loss. So you can get a kind of a broad overview of different things in the market that you may not get from something like the Google AdWords tool where you type for weight loss, where it would be give you much more strict focused keywords based around terms that have weight loss in it. So the Wonder Wheel is a good one for just picking out different kind of sub niches within a market. There used to be a really good site that I used, which was kwbrowse.com, which is the same thing, but it's been under construction for a while. So maybe if you're listening to this now, you can check it out and see if that works. But if not, Google's Wonder Wheel does pretty much the same thing. So what I would do is I would, you know, go and try and get as many different domain name or keywords related to the product and the domain name that I can. And then I have software which I use which checks all the competition. You can do this manually. But obviously go into Google and then do a search for each keyword. And I use a special plugin. It's called SEO for Firefox. So you need to use the Firefox browser for this. There are other ones as well, like SEO Quake. I just used SEO Firefox at first because it's the first one I used, and it's still the one I got installed on Firefox. But what this does is every time you do a Google search, there are like a bar of information below every single search result, so that it will tell you the age of the domain name, the page rank of the domain name, how many links according to Yahoo that domain name has, how many links the particular page will have pointing to it, how many times it's been bookmarked, whether it's listed in directories like DMOS. So all of these things can give you a kind of a very, very quick overview of how competitive a keyword really is, because obviously one indication is looking at the number of results in the Google search box, and you can do it again by looking in quotes, which will give you an idea of how many people have that keyword on their page. But one thing I don't like about searching in quotes, what a lot of people tell you, is they use that as their only guideline. So they could tell you, oh, if it has less than 20,000 results in quotes, then go for it, you're fine. Sometimes that can be the case, but the real competition is always going to be the competition you see when you search for it without quotes, because that's obviously what people search for. And so, you know, it may have in quotes, it may have very, very small competition, but if all of that competition are from like sites which have a page rank of 4 and upwards, and each have like thousands of links pointing to them, then obviously it's still going to be very, very difficult to displace those. So using a plugin like SEO Firefox or SEO Quake will give you kind of a really, really quick overview. You can go down and you can scan the results and you can see, okay, that one's page rank 5, that one's page rank 4, page rank 3. So those are very, very high ranking websites. They all have lots of links. So that's a keyword to avoid. When you go into the next keyword and you can look at that and you can see, okay, these are all page rank zeros. They don't have the keywords in the domain name. They only have a few links each. So that would be a keyword that you could then go after and target. So the research stage kind of occupies a lot of the time for me, because I want to make sure that all my efforts are, I want to be as efficient as possible, essentially. So I spend a lot of time doing the research that I know when it comes to content generation and promotion, that I know that all of my efforts are going to be going for keywords that I have a chance of ranking for. So even though I have software which does all this for me, it's still very, very possible to go through it manually. And when you're starting out, it's always a good idea to do it manually as well, because you kind of get more of a feel for it. Like I was saying, it's not an exact science, SEO, so it really helps when you can gain the experience. And then kind of after a while, you get almost like a sixth sense for these type of things, where you can look at the numbers and see, okay, yeah, this is very, very doable. This is one I should stay away from. And you get a lot quicker at it. Like just like anything with the experience and practice, you get a lot better at it. So then once I've got the keywords chosen, I may start, you know, with 10 keywords that are top of the list I want to go for. I would create content based around those, and usually I would have one keyword per piece of content. So if I've got 10 keywords, that's going to be 10 different posts or pages on the blog, and they're all going to be very, very keyword rich and very, very related, so that the site is going to have as much relevance as possible. And if you're using WordPress like I do, there's lots of good plugins to make sure your site is optimized as possible. One is the all-in-one SEO pack. If you listen to this call and you've done anything about SEO and WordPress before, you're probably familiar with it. But this will just make sure that you can have things on your page in a way that Google likes to see it. So obviously, you're going to have the title tag, which should always be your keyword. And then I'd quite often try and get a secondary keyword in there as well, just to try and pick up some traffic from another keyword. But always my primary keyword would be at the very, very start of the title. So if the keyword is something like weight loss tips, then my title could be weight loss tips dash 10 tips on how to lose weight quickly. So the second keyword there could be how to lose weight or how to lose weight quickly. And then I would go and create the content for each of those. Each one would be around 400 words minimum, just so it has enough content on the page to show that it's substantial enough. And then there's another great plugin which I use. It's called the Yet Another Related Post plugin. And what this will do, if you have a WordPress blog with this plugin installed, at the bottom of the post, it will show a bunch of related posts to that. So the post, so if you're one, you have weight loss tips, it may show links to other posts like how to lose weight or how to lose weight from your tummy or whatever. But the idea being is that it's interlinking pages on your site. So you're building up this web of sites and pages that are interlinked with each other. So that's going to be the kind of the first thing I start to do, is just get a site up and get some content on it and just make that content as optimized as possible. And one thing that I found in the past, it used to be very, very easy to get a site like this, just have, say, 10 pages of content on it, throw a bunch of links at it from like articles, videos, social bookmarking, things like that, and then you can get a good ranking and the ranking would stick. But what I've started noticing a lot more recently is that if you don't update the content on your site, then your rankings will start to drop. So you need to kind of be adding content, even if it's just once a week, try and add a new post, just so that you're building out your site and you're showing Google that, your site is relevant, it's fresh, it has new content for it. And this really helps kind of keep your rankings. And again, there are plugins you can use to get content that maybe scraped from other places like article directories. One that I use personally is from the uniquearticlewizard.com. They have a plugin where you can basically get sent semi-unique articles to your website. And then in return, those articles contain links to the author's website. So you get free content, they get backlinks. It's kind of a win-win situation. So this can be a good way to just kind of get some extra content on your site, and you can set it up so you get, one article a day or something like that. So it's a technique that I use, but I use it strictly to supplement the unique content I already have on my site. It's no good just setting up a site solely with this kind of content and hoping it will rank, because it's not 100% unique. Even though it's designed to be semi-unique, there are still lots of other sites which will have similar content to that. So it's a good way to kind of to pad out your site and build more pages on it, but you always want to make sure, first and foremost, you have your own unique content on that. So hopefully that makes sense. That's kind of the basics of what I do to get a site set up in terms of content and everything.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing from your experience, Rich. And that was interesting about how you're picking the keywords and how there's no scientific rules to it. But also, I want to kind of, I was really hung up on keywords. I think that's the reason why, one of the big reasons why I couldn't make this work, this model work when I first started doing it back in about 2005. I couldn't make it work. I know it's different today, but, I couldn't get the keywords down because I think I was getting traffic from keywords that weren't buyer keywords or the people weren't interested in buying, and my sites weren't based around anything commercial like you're doing. And, I kind of want to just, I don't want anybody to walk away from this recording without having like a real clear and concise image in their mind about how to exactly select these right keywords.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of one of the reasons you need to look as well. Obviously, you're looking for a keyword that's not very competitive is good, but at the same time, you want to look and see, are the people who are searching for that term, are they likely to be in a buying frame of mind? And a lot of times, how-to type keywords, they get a lot of traffic, but the internet, you know, it's a tool, it's used for information. So a lot of times people are just looking for information. Whereas if you can target more product names, then you already know that these people are aware of this product, that it's, you know, it's a product for sale. They may be looking for more information on it. They may be looking for more reviews on it. Quite often, some of the best keywords I found are people who are typing in the keyword buy product X or where to buy product X. Simply because they, you know, they may have seen the product on TV, or they may have seen it somewhere else, and they just go to Google and they want to buy it. So they type in buy product X. And even though it's a very, very low volume keyword typically, it has extremely high conversion rates because these people are primed and ready to buy that particular product. So that's a great keyword to go for as well. And quite often, if you can find, say you have a product that you want to promote in a marketplace and you have an affiliate program set up for it, there may be other products as well in the marketplace that you can kind of leverage their popularity. So even though they may not have an affiliate program for it, you may not be promoting it, you can still try and get some traffic for that keyword and say, you know, look, you came here looking for a review on product X. Product X didn't work for me, but this is something that did. And then you send them a link to product Y. And then that way you can kind of feed off that traffic and send it to where you want to as well. So one thing I try and do now pretty much exclusively in these sites is go for buyer type traffic or traffic related to product names or services, things that I know where people are well aware of what they're looking for and they're in a more buying frame of mind than somebody who's just browsing or are looking for kind of how-to information. Not to say that that doesn't have its place, but that would be my second phase of kind of plan of attack. Once I have a site that's up making money from the buyer keywords, then you can expand out a bit more into trying to capture some more traffic and then funneling that through to whichever product you're promoting.
Very cool. So yeah, definitely. I kind of want to probe you a little more on it because, okay, so we have this buyer keyword that's already in the domain name, like it's a productreviews.com. And so when you're searching for the keywords based on that domain name, what are you thinking of? Like, how are you selecting the very first ones you're trying to search for? Is it just other products that are related to it?
What I found through experience is there kind of, regardless of the product, there are a few kind of other qualifiers that people will type in. But I'm a big kind of stats junkie, so I'm always looking at my stats and analytics. And time after time, obviously, I'd say product name is going to be the most popular. Then typically the next most popular keywords are product name review, product name reviews, product name scam, does product name work. If it's a digital item, even people trying like product name download, and just different kind of variations of that. And again, when you go to Google, you can just type a few of these in. So if you type in product name, you see the Google suggestions for different things like product name reviews, product name scam, does product name work. So I tend to go from experience of what other kind of products the results have given me. So I use those kind of keywords, but time after time, I'm seeing that there's a handful of keywords that come up regardless of what kind of product it is. And there are always people looking for reviews or results or feedback or testimonials or things like that. So those are the keywords that I'd go after immediately.
Okay, great.
And then I'd start branching out a bit more.
Yeah, that's really cool. So, okay, so you have this, let's just kind of get a picture in our mind here. We have this domain, which is the product name or the name of the product, something like the name of the product, reviews.com or review.com, or do you use a dash review or anything like that sometimes?
No, I try and avoid dashes where possible.
Okay.
I haven't seen any real negative impact from using them, but purely from, I don't know, an aesthetic point of view, I always think that a non-hyphenated domain name looks more professional than one with hyphens in it.
Mm-hmm.
One hyphen maybe is okay, but if you've got more than one, then to me, the domain name just kind of looks a bit spammy. So what I would do is I'd always try and get it without a dash or a hyphen in it. And if I can't get your product name reviews, I do product name info, product name facts, product name, site. So there are lots of different kind of just generic qualifiers you can add to it. So long as you can try and keep the domain name short, I found the shorter the better if you can't get exact match.
Okay.
So,
and so the internal keywords on that page would be, a lot of times it'd be, does it work? You know, does the product name work? That would be one of the posts, and the next post might be, like the product name and scam or something like that.
Yeah. So try and make it as focused as possible. Like one kind of post per keyword. Obviously, there may be some kind of overlap between the content, but I've found that by doing this, especially if you set up your blog so that the structure of the URL contains the post title. So rather than like yoursite.com post number 4, it's going to be, you know, yoursite.com/product name review. And once you have that, it's going to add more relevance to that keyword and make it a lot easier to rank. And also visibly in the search engine as well. If people see that keyword there, it's obviously the keyword. If it shows up, it's bolded in the Google search results, so it has more visual impact. And one other quick tip as well is that when you're creating your posts, if you're using something like the all-in-one SEO plugin for WordPress, is you can set what are called the meta description tags. And these used to be very, very useful for SEO. They're less useful now, but they are useful in the fact that quite often Google will use this as the short little snippet with their search result. So you can write this yourself and create it to be not only keyword rich, but you can create it like a mini headline so that it can increase click-through rates. So quite often I've actually had a site that was ranking, and even though the ranking hasn't changed, I've been able to increase the traffic just by changing the meta description to be more appealing or more enticing, and it gets more people to click through. So that's another little quick tip to use there.
Very cool, very cool. So what I'm kind of thinking about this model is that since every keyword and everything you're targeting is, you know, they're people who are searching for something to buy, or they're shopping and they're trying to find out more information about something to buy, it seems like that you can make a lot of money just off a little bit of traffic.
Yeah, the great thing is the conversions are sky high compared to what I call browsing traffic. So you don't need to have a lot of traffic to really, really make this work. So I know the idea of maybe 100 websites could sound a bit daunting to people. Again, you only need to start off with one, which is what I did. And then I started making some money with it and use that, kind of reinvest those profits into other sites. But if you're going for keywords such as buy product name, then yeah, it's not going to get a lot of traffic, but the people that come to that site are very, very interested. They're likely to buy from you. And that is one particular keyword phrase that I don't see a lot of people optimizing for. And so a lot of times it's very, very easy to rank for the buy product name keywords.
That's crazy.
Particularly, it's one thing I've done in internet marketing product launches. People, you know, they've seen all the pre-launch videos. They're interested and they want to buy it. So they'll type in that keyword phrase, and it's one that very, very few people will optimize for. They're always optimizing for product name review or product name bonus, which I do as well. But if you add in the buy product name or download product name, then it's another one that just gets people who are very, very primed and ready to make a purchase.
So most people are optimizing for the shoppers, but you're optimizing for the buyers.
Yeah, I mean, it's this kind of thing, trial and error, that I found that it's a lot easier to make money from someone who's shown some kind of interest in buying. And I'm all about making more money with less work. So I try and make my whole process as efficient as possible. So I'd go after the most profitable keywords first. And once the site starts getting traffic, it starts getting some relevance. And then you can start going out from there and targeting perhaps the less prime keywords, but keywords, again, that are still based around a product. So and then you can funnel them through to, you know, the product review page and get them to buy from that. So it's kind of just building out, starting with what I know is going to get me the best results first, and then just expanding on it.
Okay. So, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, I want a product review site, but it sounds like what you're building are product buying sites, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's just so easy. I mean, I say it's so easy, but it's kind of something that I've been doing for a few years, lots of different things. And it's kind of just something I refined, and I found that doing this way, it's less work, and it can make, you know, the same amount of money, if not more money. So product review sites are good, and don't get me wrong, I do focus a lot on that as well, but I also make sure, and I don't want to forget the people who are already with their credit cards out.
Yeah, they're already ready. They're just looking for an order link somewhere, huh?
Yeah. So definitely, and again, it's something that I don't see a lot of people optimizing for. So that's definitely one to start trying out.
Well, since these people are already looking for the site, I mean, are you just putting like an add to cart link, add to cart button at the top of your site, basically? Or, I mean, how are you monetizing your pages, you know, since these people are already looking to buy? Because it seems like you'd want to put that link, that, you know, the link to the product right out in front of them right away.
Yeah, typically I would have kind of a short introduction. If it's for a buy product name, I'd have a short introduction about it, maybe take an image of the product, and then a link, like I say, above the fold, so they can see the link without having to scroll the browser at all. That will take them to the page. And then below that, again, I'd have some more information, maybe some bullet points or a quick summary of the product, and then have another link. And then, yeah, just some content based around the product, a review. Like if I've used a product, I'd give a review of it. And one of the tips when doing reviews as well is don't be afraid to put something negative in the review. Obviously, you don't want it to be all negative, but it looks a lot more genuine if someone said, yeah, this is a really great product. I got great results with it. The only downside was I wish the product owner included this or did that, but overall, it's a great product. And that sounds much more honest and genuine than someone who says, yeah, this product, you know, was great. It made me $20,000 in 2 days, and it's perfect. Go buy it, and then have a link to it. So you want to – people looking for information, I mean, they're obviously interested in the product, but try and be as honest as you can, and then you'll find the conversions go up more as well. And one other thing I've started using is using kind of exit pop-ups that will just load up the product sales page anyways, or the product order link. So even if they come to the page and they don't click on the link, when they go, they'll get an exit pop-up, which will take them to the sales page anyways. And that will I found that will increase conversions a lot of times, purely because people, you know, if they're looking to buy it, they don't know the name of the website or whatever. And even if they don't click on the link in my review, the exit pop shows up. They go, oh, here's the page, and they'll buy it.
So, nice tip. Nice tip.
Yeah, that's something I've started using on pretty much all of my sites now.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I'm actually a big fan of exit pop-ups, not abusing them, but just using, you know, like one or two on a site, but not like 5 or 10 like you see in some of these launches.
Yeah, some of it gets a bit crazy, but I mean, again, I try to be tasteful with it, and that, you know, they came to my site looking for information about a particular product, so it's, you know, it's not too harsh to then give an exit pop-up with a sales page to the site.
Right. That's what they're looking for in the first place. So
yeah, so
maybe they can't find the link on your site or something, but you're just going to land them there anyway.
Yeah, cause I mean, people have such a short attention span online that even if you have, you know, a perfectly done review, people may just scroll through it and not even read it. So then when they exit it, they're going to see the sales page anyway. So it's all about trying to maximize the visitor value. So some people will click through on your review and buy from that. Others won't, but they may click through based on your exit pop-up. And in my testing, I found that having an exit pop-up to the sales page will always increase conversions, particularly for buyer-related keywords or product name-related keywords.
Okay, so what do these sites look like? I mean, are they plain? Are they fancy? And also, you know, are you promoting them with the images in the sidebar, or are you just promoting them within the post with text links, or what's going on with these sites?
Typically, they're very, very plain and simple. I found that fancy sites can be distracting. So I try and keep it looking, I guess, as pure and as honest as possible would be kind of the way I describe it. So it doesn't have to be anything fancy, just a very, very clean like WordPress theme. Then I'd usually have kind of an image or two in the post somewhere. And again, another tip is always make your image a link to the sales page as well, and include what's called the alt text, A-L-T. Text for image, make that be part of your keywords as well, because that will help with SEO. But basically, it's going to be a very, very clean page that doesn't have lots of links, doesn't have lots of distractions. Make sure to use subheadings. So if you're doing some WordPress, you can create a subheading which is called a heading tag. So I use H2 header tags for my subheadings. Again, how to have the keywords in there. So that helps with SEO, but it also helps break up the page when people are reading through it. So, and again, always try and have like an image and a link above the fold. So as soon as somebody comes to that page without even scrolling down, they can see the image of the product, or they can see something related to the product, and they can see a big link which says, you know, click here to get more info or to buy product or something. So it doesn't have to be a fancy site with a lot of graphics, because you don't need that. I mean, the sales page typically will have that on there, and people are just looking for information, looking for reviews. So keep it as clean as possible and just avoid distractions, because the end result is to drive people to click on that link.
Nice. That's really good to know, because I'm sure for some people are thinking, do I need to get a website designed for, you know, 200, 500 bucks or even $1,000 every time I launch one of these, or can I just use some kind of, you know, free WordPress theme?
Yeah, I mean, free WordPress themes work just fine. Just use one that looks somewhat professional, but it's nice and clean. I've even heard of other people who do things with using just the standard WordPress theme, which is kind of like that one with the blue header.
Yeah.
And personally, I don't like that one much. Just that's my own standpoint. I haven't tested using it against not testing it, but typically mine would be very, very clean. It's going to be, you know, kind of white with maybe a pale gray, light blue background, and then just the text on it. And then, yeah, just no distractions. Keep it nice and clean.
Do you know the name of any of the themes just off the top of your head that you use, or is it like usually the same theme over and over?
I tend to switch out. I've started using the Thesis theme, which it's not a free theme, it's a paid theme, but it's good for SEO, and just the way it's coded, I found it helps. And that one is fully kind of customizable, so you can change the width of the columns, how many sidebars you have, the background colors, all that kind of thing. So I just use that one mainly, but in the past it was just a free theme that I'd find that you can find them, you know, you search for free WordPress themes, you can get lots of different sites. They usually have like the previews, so you can just kind of scroll through and find one that looks just nice and clean.
Okay, there's really, I mean, it's not that complicated. It's just like just find one that just doesn't have any distractions on it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's something you could test against, you know, having one type of theme against another, but more often than not, I think the content is more important. So long as there isn't crazy graphics. One thing I would say as well is don't have a theme that has like a huge header, which takes up half the page, because then people, you know, they're going to miss the bulk of your content. And so try and keep it something that's, just a small header, and then the text is right there, and, you know, show them what they want to see. So if they come for a product name review, it's going to say, you know, product name review on the page. It's going to have a link to it and have more information.
Well, one thing I'm curious about when you're building all these sites, are you a lot of time trying to stay in the same niche and then just building a bunch of sites in the sub niches of that niche, or, you know, are you just all over the place?
Quite often I would have like kind of a core market, and then I look for different products within that marketplace. The reason being is that once you start building a few sites in a market, if for some reason you can't get that site ranking, or the competition is just way too stiff, then you can still use that site as an asset to link out to other sites, and you kind of start building yourself a little like a mini network of sites.
Oh, nice.
Particularly if you use kind of like the SEO hosting thing where different server locations. So, you know, if you've got five different weight loss products you're promoting, and you find, you know, one of the sites you just can't rank whatever you try, you can use that site then to link out to your other weight loss review sites. And because, you know, you're linking out to that site, and you're linking from a site which is relevant, it's going to help boost the rankings of the other sites.
So you're using SEO hosting, and then, you know, if something's not ranking well, you want to link to it with your other sites. But are you linking them in a wheel or anything like that, or are you just you link them all to each other?
No, I typically would tend to keep all the sites separate. I have what I call feeder sites. These are like, could be sites that I've set up in the past. You can do the same thing with like setting up hub pages or Squidoo pages, and you could link out to all of your different sites. But to say I had five sites in the weight loss market, each of those five sites would be independent, and typically they wouldn't link to each other unless I considered one of the sites kind of dead and I wanted just to get some links from it. So I'd keep all those sites independent, but I would have like several other sites that would that may link to them. It's hard to describe without kind of drawing a picture. I have a picture in my mind. But.
I'm kind of thinking about these feeder sites. So these feeder sites are typically like the first sites you set up in those markets, and they just have a lot of juice.
Yeah, I mean, even a lot of things I do are with like product launches in the internet marketing space. So I'd set up a lot of different sites based around a product name. And then, you know, 2 weeks after the launch, everyone's forgotten about that product. But during the time I was building it, I'd built a lot of links to it. It's got some authority. But even though it's not getting me any traffic, it's still an asset that I can leverage. So I can use that to link out to new sites. It doesn't even have to be in the same marketplace. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it could have, you know, after a couple of months, it could have some page rank to it. So just linking out to a new site and will help those newer sites. So even if, you know, even my failures, some sites that I thought were going to work, I mean, they don't work every single time. But even if they do fail, it's still an asset you can use for other purposes. You can link out to different sites. So yeah, even though it may seem kind of dead in the water, it's still a viable asset that you can use.
Okay. Is there anything – I was thinking about, you know, we could go on to link building since we're kind of getting on that topic, but is there anything else you want to say about anything we've talked about so far, the domain names, or anything coming to mind about keywords or monetizing the pages or optimizing them? Because we've gotten to that for a second, you know, optimizing the image with alt tags and whatnot, and just, you know, making sure to design our pages and monetizing them for ultimate conversion rates. So is there anything you want to talk about with any of that before we move on?
I think in terms of SEO, the main things you want to have on the page, obviously the title tag, the meta description, you want to make that kind of mini headline. You want your keyword and possibly a secondary keyword in the title. You want to have like 400 words of content minimum. You want to break it up with subheadings and make those subheadings be other keywords, like keyword-rich subheadings, and use those as header tags. I tend to try and bold the keyword, like one or two instances of the keyword, just because it adds extra emphasis to that particular keyword and shows it's a bit more relevant for that. And I'd have the keyword in the try and have it in the first sentence of the page and then the last sentence of the page, and obviously sprinkled in between as well. And then I use the related posts plugin to link to other posts on the blog. One other tip as well is try and link out to like an authority site. So if you're having trouble getting a site ranking for a particular keyword, try creating a link from that page to a related article on Wikipedia or some other authority site, just because it shows Google that you're not afraid to share that information with your end users. Obviously, Google, their main goal when ranking sites is that the end users get the most relevant results possible. So by giving or adding a link to, say, an article on Wikipedia, you're showing them that you want to provide your users with good information, even if it takes them off your site. So obviously, you do want to make that link to Wikipedia be big and bold at the top of the page. You can put it down the bottom and, you know, even in the footer or the sidebar somewhere. But it just shows Google again that, you know, you're a site that's looking to share quality information with their users. And these are the little tips that can help just kind of increase your rankings.
Nice.
And again, another thing I do is try and track everything very, very well. So like if I have Google Analytics installed on my site, one of the ways I can try and get more traffic is I would track and see which keywords are getting traffic, which pages they're getting traffic to, and then I would go to Google and physically check to see where that page is ranking for that keyword. So if I see, you know, I'm getting, you know, 10 hits a day for keyword X, and I find out I'm in position 9 on the first page, well, then I know I can just build some more links to that page with that specific anchor text, and it's going to bump up the page in the rankings, and I get more traffic from it. So that way I know where to focus my efforts, and I know that it's going to bring me more results. So rather than kind of blindly just picking random keywords and random pages to build links to, I look and see what's already working and see how I can optimize it and just maximize it so that it's as efficient as possible.
Excellent. Man, you're sharing a lot. I hope people are taking notes here and just, you know, because if they're taking notes, they should have about 5 pages and all of, like, you know, the 20 different diagrams right now of exactly how you're doing this stuff. So, yeah, I appreciate you sharing so much.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, the good thing is, it may seem a lot taken at first, but the way I do things, my background, kind of studying physics, I'm very, very systematic in it. So I try to break down things into bite-sized steps and have kind of a process which I can follow or I can give to somebody else and follow. So,
well, you know, actually, I mean, I've studied a lot of SEO stuff, and I actually have studied a lot of it, but I never get it from other people, and I'm getting it right now talking to you. So, I mean, I can see how the way you're explaining it, I mean, I can see it in my mind. I can see the steps of what's going on. I mean, I still have questions about certain things, but I can see how you're setting up these sites and then, you know, what your reasoning is behind the things you're doing, like all the way from, you know, finding the product to registering the domain to using the type of servers you use to setting up the way the blog is supposed to be. I mean, I'm not even looking at any notes or anything right now, but I've absorbed all that. So I'm sure people on here are actually, you know, finding it a lot clearer training than a lot of the SEO stuff they've read, because a lot of SEO stuff I've read is just completely philosophical crap. You know, and you're actually telling them this is exactly what to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of theory out there. I mean, and the hard thing with SEO is that there is no real rule book on it. I mean, Google have the rule book and then keep it under lock and key. No one knows what it is. So there's a lot of kind of guesswork involved. But like I said, my background in physics, I'm used to experimentation. I'm used to a lot of testing and documenting results. So I think that's really carried over quite well for me in terms of my business. And I kind of follow the same approach. So whenever I try and teach it, everything I do is based on my own methods that I know that work first and foremost, and that are methods that I can kind of break down into kind of step-by-step chunks and give people the process that they can follow. So
yeah.
I'm glad I'm making sense to somebody anyways.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think a lot of people are looking for set rules about SEO and whatnot, and this is really just like your model. I mean, this is from experience. This is Rich's model. You know, I mean, it's not the way that, you know, everyone does it or something like that. It's just, it's coming from Rich's experience. And then, you know, he's going for the buyers. This is exactly how he does it, you know, and someone might clash with this information on a forum or something like that. But if you want to follow what Rich is doing, I mean, you're just going to follow what he's talking about. I mean, this has come from his experience. So,
yeah, I mean, there's no right or wrong way, really. I mean, I guess there is a wrong way to go about SEO, but there are lots of different avenues you can take. So, and I've just kind of followed one that's worked for me, and I've tried to refine it as much as possible and make the whole process as simple yet efficient as possible. So definitely this is what I do. This is how, you know, I feed my family. I build my business doing this. So this stuff definitely works. So just take action on it and make sure and apply it.
Excellent. So do you want to go into link building a little bit? I think we've covered just about everything else I wanted to cover, unless there's certain things you wanted to cover. I mean, we covered. I just named everything. It's just like a whole bunch of stuff about your entire system, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So link building is probably a topic I could talk on for weeks. but whenever I start out, first thing I do with a blog, I'm always going to take when you create a few posts, your blog will have an RSS feed attached to it. Typically, this is like yoursite.com/feed, so F-E-E-D. And this RSS feed is just kind of a list of all the posts on your site, and it's structured in a way that, you know, the machines can read it, whatever. So there are sites that are called RSS aggregators, certain sites like Feedage, F-E-E-D-A-G-E.com, Feedrader.com. Lots of other, you can Google like free RSS aggregators. So first thing I do is I would take that and I would take the RSS feed and I would submit it to a bunch of different RSS aggregators. I have software that helps automate this, but there are lots of free sites you can use. And first of all, this will help get you some links to your site. And second of all, the good thing about RSS aggregators is that every time you create a new post, it will update your feed and it will update in that RSS aggregator. So every new post will be shown in these aggregators too. So this is a great way of getting your site indexed and get some small early backlinks to it as well.
Okay, so basically, I mean, once your site is set up the way we were talking about setting it up, and once you're adding just, you know, content here and there, because you were talking about how you had to add content, you know, unique content every once in a while to keep your rankings. But after you have it set up and after you're just, you know, trickling some content, I mean, all the focus shifts towards link building, right? I mean, is that the only shift?
Okay. Yeah, pretty much. Once you get the core site set up, it's kind of, phase two is just pure link building. Basically, because I've picked my keywords based on, say, the top 10 ones I want to go for. And so now we start building links to those and make sure to target each one with a specific anchor text. So, you know, if the keyword is weight loss tips, make sure when any time you can build a backlink, if you can use anchor text, make sure and use that keyword weight loss tips. So typically a lot of the ways to go about getting some quick backlinks are submitting articles, submitting videos like to YouTube. If you don't know how to create videos, what I suggest is creating PowerPoint and then just kind of recording yourself over that. You can, if you don't have Microsoft Office for PowerPoints, there's another kind of a free office suite, which is openoffice.org. So what I typically do is try and, again, being as efficient as possible, is leverage any content I create as much as possible. So if I create an article that I'm going to submit to places like eZine Articles, goarticles.com, I would then turn that article into a PowerPoint, and then you can submit that PowerPoint to PowerPoint sharing sites like slideshare.net. You can then record your voice as you go through that PowerPoint presentation, and you have a video which you can upload to YouTube, or you can use a service like TubeMogul, TubeMogul.com, which will upload your video to a bunch of different video sharing sites. Again, just make sure to put your link to your website or to your particular blog post in the description. If you've created that video, then you can take the audio from that, and you've got a podcast, which you can submit to podcast directories. So there's lots of different ways then you can just leverage that content in a bunch of different ways, submit it to a bunch of different places to get backlinks. So those are some of the quick and easy ways of doing it. Other ways, obviously, creating, if you have other sites in your network, you can link out to new sites from your existing sites. So you can create a related article and then link out to your new site. It seems that links from within an article, so contextual links, will carry a lot more weight than just kind of, say, a blog comment or even an article which has just a link at the very, very end of it in kind of the resource box. So try and get do that if possible. Look for other related blogs in your marketplace. Offer to write some content for free if they will, you know, include a link to it. So it's kind of like guest posting. So you can find a bunch of different sites in your marketplace and just offer to write them an article if they want any unique content, and you put links into that as well. The benefit of that is twofold. One, obviously, you're getting a link from a related website that's obviously established. And two, quite often these sites will also have a good readership. They're getting traffic already. So, you know, you get an article published on that kind of site, you're going to get some direct traffic from people clicking on the links, as well as the SEO benefit. And then other ways of getting links there, press releases are really, really good. The good way of getting backlinks to your site, because a lot of press releases, even though they get syndicated, the sites they're syndicated to are kind of seen as authority sites by Google. So there are quite a few press release sites which allow you to have anchor text links in it. And another reason why we go for product name specific domain names is that even if you can't have an anchor text link, you can have just like, say, a regular www.yoursite.com link. That is kind of acting as your anchor text for that link. So at least if you have a product name specific domain name, you've got that kind of that keyword there in that domain anchor text. So yeah, I'm trying to think what other ones you can use, but you can go and find other related blogs in your community and post a blog comment. Again, try and make sure and contribute to the conversation. Don't just spam it. Sometimes you'll get away with that, but overall, it's often much easier to write, you know, two or three good comments that'll stick rather than try and do 20 spam comments that 90% are going to get deleted anyways. Other ones, look for related forums in your community. Set up an account. You can usually have a signature link in those forums. So there's a place called bigboards.com, which is kind of a directory of forums you can go to. Look for any kind of sites that are .edu or .gov extensions. There's lots of cool tricks you can do to kind of try and find sites that are hosted on .edu or .gov domain names. And sometimes these will have blogs on them that you can then comment on as well. The reason these are effective is because they're from sites which Google sees as very, very authoritative. So they're a good source of backlinks. Trying to think of any more. Okay. Can you think of any, Jason, that you may know of that I've kind of skipped over there?
No, I mean, I guess I do have a couple questions. I mean, I guess my question is, you say you're submitted to the RSS directories and that the RSS feed is linking to your individual posts on your site, but other than that, are you trying to get any links to your individual posts on your site, or are you just trying to link back to the main post with multiple anchor texts?
No, quite often I would mix it up as well. I'd say a little less than 50% of the time I would go for the inner pages too. Mm-hmm. So quite often, say, for example, if you can submit a link at an article. So if you have a weight loss tips website and then one particular post is how to lose weight from your stomach, then that's the individual blog post. So then my resource box, you can typically add like two links. So I would create an anchor text link for how to lose stomach fat, and then I would link to how to lose stomach fat post on my site. So you have an anchor text link and you have pointing to a post which has that keyword in it, and that post, you know, is keyword rich for that phrase. So that's going to really, really help the relevance for that post. And then I would typically use a link, which would be just a www.yoursite.com link. And the reason that being is with the two links there, most directories you submit to will keep those two links active. But a lot of times when people republish those, they won't always include the HTML. So your anchor text link to your post may end up looking just like text with no link at all. But if you also include a www.yoursite.com link, even if it doesn't become a live link to your website, if they deactivate the HTML, people can still see what the address of your website is, so they can type it in or they can copy and paste it in. So that's just another way of making sure that you can get as much traffic as possible. But yeah, I would also recommend linking to your inner pages as well as your domain name.
Okay, cool. So every page has its own keyword you're after, because every page is optimized for its own keyword. But the main page of your site, your index page, are you just going for the product name, or you know just the regular product name? Is that what you're trying to rank
for? Typically, it's going to be optimized for the product name, because the product name will typically be the one that gets the most traffic. Mm. But I'd also have, say, that the title of that page would be product name review is product name a scam, or product name review, should you buy product name? So that way I'm optimizing for that primary keyword, but there are also secondary keywords in there as well.
The anchor text that is pointing back to your index page, it is just the name of the product usually?
Yeah, usually. I'd quite often mix in some secondary ones like product name review, or should you buy product name, or sometimes even I'll just do a link without anchor text, just to try and keep things looking natural. Mm-hmm. Because when people link to sites naturally, they don't always type in an anchor text link. They'll just type in the address of the website. So just to kind of keep things safe, I mean, after having one of my main sites before that was penalized, I'm very kind of cautious about trying to keep Google happy as much as possible.
Yeah, but that's what I'm curious about really is the multiple anchor text pointing back to the index page. So are you careful with every individual post? Are you just trying to make everything look natural? As far as, like, we have multiple anchor text links pointing back toward, like, one of your posts on your site?
Typically, probably maybe 50 to 70% of the time, I would keep the exact keyword I'm going for. Mm. And then the other, you know, 20, 30% or whatever of the time, I would keep that same keyword, but perhaps have another word at the end of it. Product name review. Could be then another one could be best product name review or online product name reviews. Just
that's
so
really
it looks, just mix it up a bit, but you're keeping the primary keyword in there. There's just some variation in it.
Yeah, that's good to know the percentage of how you do it. I mean, I'm sure there's no set rules out there, but it's good to know from your experience again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's some sites where I've done it where I haven't varied it at all and it's been fine, but I tend to kind of just play on the side of caution now.
Gotcha.
And then just trying to, because so long as it has a primary keyword in there, and so long as you're doing that for the majority of the time, that's usually okay. And then just vary it a little bit. I can't say for sure how much effect it does have or doesn't have, because I you know, nobody knows how Google really works. But
I gotcha.
It's just good practice, I think, just to vary it a little bit.
Right. That's why I love picking your brain, though, because, I mean, no one really knows how they work, but you have a lot of experience, you know, years and years and years of experience doing it. So, you know, based on, even though you don't know exactly what they're thinking, you know it has worked for you. So it's, you know, it's cool. I think the problem is a lot of people, you know, you can learn all this stuff by SEO, but I think what they're really looking for is people's real experiences with it. You know what I mean? Like yours, so.
Yeah, you kind of a blueprint you can follow that you know is going to work, not just
yeah, have faith.
A bunch
something
of
you can
theory.
Have faith in.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, you have, you're telling your exact experience from this, so I would have no problem, like, taking this and actually trying it and having a faith, whether I have to wait a week or a month for a site to really start churning out cash or something. I mean, I would have faith in doing that because I know it's coming exactly from your experience and not just a bunch of, you know, theory or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of one of the guys that tend to do a lot more of internet marketing than I teach. There, you know, there's some people who just come out with product after product, whereas, you know, I'm trying to build a business model based around building sites that are going to be around for a long time, making me money. So this is something I do day in, day out, and it works for me, and it's, you know, it's what I'm doing. I know it works. And anybody can follow these same steps. I mean, I can't guarantee results, or I can't guarantee your time frame. Because all I do is I basically track everything. I look at everything. And then if something needs a bit of a push, then you can start building more links to that particular page for that keyword. So, yeah, the main things to do, first of all, get the research done right. Because that's going to be, I don't know, in my eyes, that's more than half the battle. If you can get the keyword research done, and that kind of gives you a plan of action, you know then what you need to go and do. And then implementing it, it's just a case of creating some content and building some backlinks to it. And then if it's not quite enough, just build some more backlinks until you get where you want to be. And then the good thing about this is once you've done one site and it's starting to make money, you can move on to the next site, and that first one will still make you money with very little maintenance, if not no maintenance. And then the longer you have these sites registered, they're more aged domain, which is another big plus in Google's eyes. And for anyone out there who you know, may have a bit more money to spend, if you can buy some aged domains, these are great to kind of get you some quick rankings, because they've passed this kind of trust factor with Google. So brand new sites, even though it's possible to get them ranked very, very quickly, it's a lot easier to do it with a site on an aged domain, just because it's been around for a bit longer and Google knows it's been around. It's not just some site that's put up to try and spam and get some, you know, get some cheap AdSense clicks or whatever. So.
Gotcha. Okay, that's good. I mean, I appreciate you sharing this model. I guess I have a couple questions. I mean, unless you have something you really want to say, but I just have a couple small questions.
Yeah, no, go ahead. I think I've covered kind of most of the main points I want to see.
Okay, cool. Because, I mean, I was going to say, I mean, everything you shared, I mean, there's not many holes, I mean, that I can think of in what you're sharing. I mean, it sounds like a complete game plan, and you described every little part of it in a way that everybody can follow. And, you know, I've tried to follow SEO game plans before where, you know, I messed up on this one part because I didn't understand this one part, and then everything crumbled from there. You know,
yeah,
cause, like, I didn't do the keyword research right, so I'm getting crappy traffic, you know, because it's not people searching for something to buy or shop or anything like that. But I guess my question is, you know, how long can it take to, you know, get to the front page Google, or how long can it take to start making money, or you know, because the thing is I know you're speaking from experience, and I have no problem putting my faith into it and doing it, but I'm just wondering, like, you know, if I've gone a month or something and I haven't made any money, should I just stop with that site, you know, just throw it away?
Yeah, there's no real secret. I mean, a lot of times when I do stuff for product launch sites, like, so new launches in internet marketing niche, I can get a site on page one, sometimes within, you know, often within 24 hours of registering the domain name, set up the blog, create some quick content, even just two or three articles to it, submit the RSS feed, submit a few articles or article directories, or, and create, you know, PowerPoints from that, videos from that, and it should take me, you know, two or three hours to set up a site, and I can have it on page one within 24 hours. But a lot of times that's because there's very little competition for that specific keyword if it's a new product. So there's no real time frame. For other things, all I would say is try and track it. If you can, you know, if you're spending a month doing this and you haven't got to page one yet, what you really need to know is, where were you at day one? Were you on page 100 or were you on page 2? If you've gone, you know, if you're on page 2 and you only made it from the bottom of page 2 to the middle of page 2 in a month, then, you know, chances are it's going to take you a long time to keep going to page 1. But if when you started out, you found out, you know, you're down on page 10, and then in a month you've got to the top of page 2, then you can kind of estimate, well, I've done this much with so much work, so I just need a little more push to get out onto page 1. So I tend to track everything I do, track all my rankings, and track the movement in the rankings so I can know that with you know, X amount of work, I've gained 50 places. So I need, you know, another X amount of work to gain another 50 places as such. So if you can track it, and then it gives you much better insight into what's working and what's not working, and it really helps that you can put more faith into then saying, okay, I've come this far and I've got this close. I'm 90% of the way in. I just need a little more push for that final 10%. Whereas if you don't track it, you're just kind of blindly doing it. You know, you can say, well, I'm not on page one yet. I haven't been on page one for the whole time, so I'm never going to get to page one. Whereas in reality, you can just be that little bit away from it. But consistency is the key. You want to be trying to build out some more content, building more links, and just doing a little bit every single day, if, as much as possible, or every few days, or whenever you can. And then eventually you will get there. I mean, for the most part, if you've got everything right on page in terms of all the factors of having keywords and stuff, it's typically just a case of getting more and more links to your website. Obviously, there are other factors that come into play, but by and large, particularly for Google, the more links you have, the better you're going to rank.
But it's like, so if you have everything set up the way you're talking about, all that matters is just the link building. I mean, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, kind of the phase one of getting the site set up, that is, you're doing everything you possibly can to give yourself the best chance of ranking, so that when it comes to the link building, you only need to do the minimum amount possible. Where, because you can still link for keyword phrases by just building a mass amount of links, even if you have very, very poor on-page SEO, but you're going to need to build 10 times or 100 times more links compared to what you would if you had, you know, all of the things on your page correctly first. So kind of step one, keyword research, do the right research, focus on the kind of the prime keywords, the ones that you think are going to be most profitable. Then build your site and get it as optimized as possible. Follow all the rules we kind of laid out to get your site, you know, give it 100% in terms of optimization. And then just the case of building links and kind of tracking your progress so that you know how far you've come and you know how far you've got to go. And that way it's a lot easier to kind of keep faith and keep plugging on with it, because sometimes it can be tedious, it can be boring when you're not seeing results. But I've seen so many people quit when they're 90% of the way in, but they didn't know how close they were when they gave up. So, yeah, just track what you're doing and then kind of follow it. And this is a blueprint that works. I mean, it may take some time. Some keywords you'll get there quicker than others. But if you follow it, you will get there. And if you're tracking what you're doing, you can have a better idea and understand how the process is working and what you can expect and when you can expect it.
That's some great advice there, because I know that, you know, if you're teaching something, it's a lot different than learning from experience. I mean, you can't just tell them you can't tell people who are listening, you know, because you can't tell them everything that's coming from your experience, because I know every week you might have some new thing happening, you know, that you have to overcome, or, you know, it's just the amount of different situations you're in, probably every single day doing this, it's hard to talk about in one audio, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I could talk for hours about the different intricacies and subtleties and things you can do, but again, I mean, this is a blueprint I follow, so if I'm doing this on a large scale and, you know, building sites and having people build sites for me, I need to give them a plan that they can follow. So this, I kind of break it down to the bare bones, make it as efficient as possible. And so this is basically my blueprint. This is what I do myself, is what I give to my outsourcers when I say, you know, build a site based around this and then get links like this. And yeah. So anybody can take this information and take action with it and apply it, and and you will see results.
Excellent. I think that everybody who's listening, I mean, you know, follow the plan and also, you know, especially do the tracking because, I mean, you're talking about stuff that's coming from experience. You wouldn't be able to even say any of this stuff if you've never tracked and found out the results. And, you know, I mean, the thing is like, I just think that, I think there's so much stuff out there, like I keep saying, is just not based on experience. And it's with anything in internet marketing, you need to track and test and find out what's working while following someone else's proven game plan that has worked from their experience, you know?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people unfortunately buy into a lot of the hype in a lot of products, in all the quick fixes and stuff. I mean, yeah, like I said, this stuff I'm teaching may not be sexy, but this is what I've been doing to build, you know, six-figure business that runs pretty much on autopilot. I just kind of add to it and grow it. So, yeah, right. I mean, it may not be as exciting as some of the latest great ClickBank products look, but this is my business model. It works, and it's something that's very, very doable and easy to follow, I think.
That's great. I appreciate you being on here, and I think you gave some stuff, some information just flat out works, and that's what I'm all about, you know, sharing with people, just stuff that flat out works. I don't care about the latest, greatest thing. I know a lot of the stuff comes from your experience. You talked about some of the unique things you're doing with, you know, buying the aged domains. You talked about the .co.uk tips, and there was a lot of stuff I'd never heard before, and I feel like I got my head wrapped around how to buy the domain, you know, how to buy the right domain, and I learned a little about SEO hosting, learned about keywords and how you're aiming for the buyers and also the reviewers and, you know, between what you're doing and then the people who are just aiming for the review sites. I mean, there's so much in this call, there's so much gold in this call. So, I mean, like you said, I mean, some of it might not be sexy to do. I mean, push a button, make $8 million, but, you know, this is how you build a long-term business. And I think it actually has a lot of attraction for me because, you know, it's something that's really cool about having like 100 sites that are making you money, and you build one and then you move on to the next, and the one you just built keeps running for you. And then, you know, your business, you know, it's not the same as a lot of other things you do in internet marketing that can burn out. This is a very evergreen kind of business model that I think is actually does have a lot of sex appeal to it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I like it. I mean, I got started in the internet marketing world, you know, creating a few internet marketing products and list building and that, which definitely has its merits, but it's something that needs constant babysitting and needs to be constantly adapting and evolving to, because the marketplace changes so quickly. Whereas if you can create sites like these in evergreen markets, then there's very, very little babysitting you need to do. You just move on from one product to the next, and you know that, you know, people are always going to be wanting information on how to lose weight, or always looking for information on, you know, how to attract women, or how to, you know, improve their credit score or make more money, or just different things like that. So you're building long-term business assets that you can use over and over again. Whereas, you know, the latest and greatest Facebook, Twitter thing may be good now, but, you know, a year or two down the line, is it still going to be making you money? So that's definitely why I like this business model. And it's once you get it, and the more you start doing it, the easier it becomes. Like I said, the research is important. It's not fun at first. I mean, for me, maybe I'm a bit masochistic that the research is fun for me. And because I know the kind of the results that I can get from it, I know if I find a good market, I think, wow, this is good. There's a lot of potential here. And you kind of get your head around what's going to work and what's not going to work. So it gets a lot easier the more you do it. And like I said, you can have one site, starts making money, it's going to continue making money, and you can move on to the next one. So you're kind of compounding your income the whole time you're doing this. Whereas other business models, you have to create new products, you know, for the internet marketing space, and then you need to create another product in 6 months because the last thing doesn't work anymore. And I'm not saying it doesn't work, it does, but for me, this is a much more relaxed, I feel, kind of business model, and it's a longer term one, I think, as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm huge in list building, and list building doesn't have the same evergreen kind of feel as your model, because the older the prospect on your list, the less they're going to buy. So you have to constantly be funneling new leads into your list. And with your model, it's like you set and forget a site. I mean, you have to tweak it every once in a while, but it's you know, if it's getting the traffic, I don't see it turning off, you know. And especially if you have your eggs, you know, not your eggs in one basket, you have it spread across 100 sites. I could see that just, you know, one day, you're just sitting there. I mean, you barely have to do any maintenance to any of your sites, and you know, you're hardly working, basically.
Yeah, I mean, most of the time I'm now just focusing on new sites and building those out. And yeah, I mean, so you can, you have one site, once it reaches number one in Google, there's not much more you can do to it, so you move on to the next one. And then, or you can go back and see are there other keywords you may have missed. And that's where kind of the tracking comes in. You see, okay, I'm starting to get traffic from this keyword, which I didn't know I had before, and I'm ranking down in position 9 or 10. So I'll go in quickly, create a specific post for that specific keyword, create some backlinks using that specific anchor text, and then pretty soon that site, that post is going to jump up, and then I'm going to get even more traffic. So,
very cool.
And then the more content you add, the kind of the more authority your site has, and then you start picking up more and more keywords as well. So,
gotcha. Okay, well, yeah. Is there anything else you want to say? Because, I mean, I really appreciate you coming here and get on this recording with me and sharing all from your experience and everything that's working for you and just sharing pretty much your model of how you do things and why you do it. And I just really appreciate it. I mean, it helped me set things in my mind exactly, you know, a model I could actually use, not just being scrambled all over the place with all this SEO knowledge, just an actual model I could follow if I wanted to right now.
I think that's pretty much everything I wanted to cover. I mean, so long as I laid it out fairly clearly, I mean, like I said, I could talk for hours about this, but, you know, I could probably end up confusing you more than anything. So
sure.
I think, yeah, I tried to lay out basically the process I go through, and it's a process that I think anybody can follow as well. So the main thing really is just take action. I mean, I've been in this game so long. I've seen so many people buy stuff and just never do anything with it. I mean, this works. So go ahead, use it.
Yeah, absolutely. This works. This isn't just, you know, Rich isn't just some guy who just launches products to make money over and over and over. You know, like a lot of these guys, they don't even know where their content's going to come from. They just need to launch a product because they know it's going to make money. I mean, this is the real deal stuff from Rich. So I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. I mean, it's been a pleasure discussing this.
Yeah, same here. It's a subject that I have always been real fascinated with, and I'm probably going to give it a shot myself for some long-term cash flow. So, everybody, I appreciate you being on and listening to this recording, and I will see you later.